TMZ TV.
We don't adulterate the Word of God. No, this is one thing we don't do. But there are people who do it. I'm going to read you about Paul saying that he does not adulterate the Word of God. And he commends himself to every man's conscience. This is very interesting. I'm going to give it to you in a second after I light my cigar here. I'm in 2 Corinthians. And I'm in... Oh, I just saw something. This is not even where I want to be. But I just... Something caught my eye. Where did this come from? I'm not even supposed to be on this page. 2 Corinthians... Wow. Verse 16. Listen to this. The wind blew my page. And I'm not even supposed to be where I am right now. Paul says in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 6, "What concurrence has a temple of God with idols? And you are a temple of God. And there are false temples in the world, ecclesiastical bodies, churches, and you have no business being there. For you are a temple of the living God, according as God said." You are a temple of the living God. This goes along with 1 Corinthians. I'm completely winging it now because I didn't even, the wind blew my page and I don't even know where I'm supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 3:6 corroborates that the Holy Spirit makes the wind blew it again. Might get on to another topic now. The wind is dictating what I'm talking to you about. Well, the wind is the same Greek word pneuma as spirit. So there you go. The Spirit of God is moving the pages of my Bible, dictating what I'm saying to you right now. And the wind is going that way. That way. All right, you're a temple of the living God. God used to make his home in buildings. At one time, he walked around in the Garden of Eden. That was his home with Adam and Eve. Then he deigned to dwell in temples built by hands. But since the days of the crucifixion of Christ, God dwells in people. And you have there's no concurrence, there's no agreement with the temple that you are. The Spirit of God that is in you and an idol. And I talked a couple weeks ago about what constitutes idolatry. You think there's no such thing as idolatry in the world today. Martin, nobody's worshiping a false god. But yes, I told you that Christianity worships false gods. I don't want to get back on that track again. I know some of you get tired about me talking about Christianity all the time, but it's this giant elephant that's continually in the room taking giant poops. And you have to talk about it every now and then. You're a temple of the living God, according as God said, that I will be making my home and will be walking in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. This is interesting because that was a promise God made to Israel. But this is a transadministrational truth, and that God is also in us in a deeper way than he is with Israel. Wherefore, come out of their midst and be severed. Come out of their midst and be severed. What midst is he talking about? See, I'm not even bringing this up now. The scriptures are bringing this up. I was not even going to talk about Christianity, but come out of their midst and be severed. The midst of the idols, the midst of the idol worship, the nominal institutional religion we are to come out of the midst of, because that is making an idol concurrent with the Spirit of God that makes its home in you. God does not today dwell in buildings. He dwells in people. So who are these people who say that God dwells in buildings? They are idol worshipers. God doesn't dwell in buildings. Here's what they ask you. Have you been to church lately? Where do you go to church? Who's your pastor? Who's your head? Who are you accountable to? I don't go to church. I am the church. My head is Jesus Christ. I'm accountable to him. And I'm doing very well, thank you very much. And I have the Word of God, and we're going to get to that. at least we were going to get to it where I was before the wind blew my page. But let's continue on here. Wherefore, come out of their midst and be severed, the Lord is saying. Touch not the unclean. Ooh, this is... Yeah, the church is unclean. Touch not the unclean thing. I will admit you. I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. People are afraid. And I might be talking to some people today, and this is why the wind blew my page. This might be for somebody who's watching this today who is afraid of leaving the comfort zone of institutional religion. I understand the fear. No, actually, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't. I just said that to make you feel better. I don't understand it, and this is why, because I'm saturated in this truth. Touch not the unclean, and I will admit you. I will admit you. There are some churches out there that will not admit you because you don't agree with them theologically. You have wild ideas. Like God is going to reconcile the universe to himself, and that the will of God is stronger than the will of man. But God says, I will admit you. Moreover, I will be a father to you. This is an intimate familial relationship. This is much more than he's simply a God. God is a placer, an arranger. That's what the name means. A subjector, I'm sorry. God, theos in the Greek. Subjector, one who, you are all too familiar with a God who is the subjector, the one who does things to you, for you, and moves you around and puts you into places you'd rather not be, like he did to Peter. Remember what Jesus told Peter? When you were young, you went around, went where you would, but when you are old and decrepit, other people will take hold of you and take you where you would not. Yes. Speaking of the manner in which Peter would die. Let's change the topic. This is a father. This is much more intimate than a mere God. He's still God, but he's also father. I will admit you, be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Paul then continues, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having then these promises, beloved, we should be cleansing ourselves from every pollution of flesh and spirit, completing holiness in the fear of God. Now, I hope people are happy here, because people have accused me over the years of saying, Martin, you just preach grace. You don't tell people to behave themselves. Why don't you tell people to behave themselves more? All you do is say that where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Okay. Here it is. I, with Paul, am going to say, having then these promises, that is, that God is going to come in, that God has come into you, the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Lord is saying, he is your Father, you are sons and daughters to him. Having then these promises, now that we are sealed in God, he is our Father and we can't get out of it, now we should be cleansing ourselves from every pollution of flesh. The cleansing, as I told you over and over again, comes after. Cleansing comes after we are assured of our place in God's family. I am putting the horse where he is very happy. The horse is very happy in front of the cart. Very happy. You put the horse behind the cart and he's very confused. He doesn't understand what's going on. And many people have that horse behind the cart and they put your works first. And if you work hard enough, you'll earn this wonderful father relationship with God. No, that is sealed, that is done. And now, having then these promises, these are already promises, irrespective of your behavior, having then these promises, we should be. This is what you should do, really. You should do this. We should be cleansing ourselves from every pollution of flesh and spirit. Why not? Why not? Cleanse yourself of pollution of spirit. What's that? What's pollution of spirit? It is taking your temple and taking it into a temple of idols. That is pollution of spirit. And this touches what I was going to talk on. I might just segue into what I was going to talk on if I can find the page. You see what I'm saying? Pollution of flesh and spirit. Yes, we don't want any of you screwing your stepmothers. We don't want any of you murdering. We don't want any of you bearing false witness. No. And, it's going that way now, the wind. The spirit goes this way. The spirit goeth where it will. Namely, that away. We don't want you doing any of these things. I don't want you doing any of these things because you give the message, you kind of compromise the message a little bit. You make the message look bad if you're out there killing people and robbing banks. So, and, you know, screwing your stepmother and having sex with animals. Don't do that, okay? Be kind to one another. Be gracious toward one another. There. Now, where was I going to go? It was in 2 Corinthians. Here it is. Here it is. Now the Lord, I'm in 2 Corinthians 3:17. This is where I was going to start. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And I have a feeling this is going to link to what I just read because God works this way. Okay, let's see. Let's see. I'm just betting that this is going to happen. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Yet where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There it is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we learned in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that the Spirit of God is making its home in you and that you are a temple of God. Learned that from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And since you're a temple of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes, and this freedom, let me slow down, follow this. The Spirit of the Lord makes its home in you. This is now a temple. Your body is a temple. You don't need to go to a temple. You don't need to go where the Holy Spirit is supposed to be. You don't need to go to a Holy Spirit revival. No. Besides, I see these signs that say Holy Spirit revival 7 p.m. How do they know the Spirit's going to show up at 7 p.m.? It doesn't matter. The Spirit doesn't show up, but they fake it. Anyway, you don't need to go to a place where the Spirit is purported to be because the Spirit of God makes his home in you. You're self-contained. You are a temple. You're self-contained. This is great news. Now, this is even greater news. The Lord is the Spirit, yet where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you have a self-contained freedom right now. The Spirit of the Lord is freedom. That's a metaphor. So any bondage you submit yourself to is completely tragic. It's unnecessary because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. You have this freedom, whether you realize it or not. I'm trying to get you to realize, because many people don't realize that they have it. Martin, how do you know I'm free? How do you know I'm free? I feel like I'm in bondage. I'm being tried on all sides, and I just feel constrained. Well, I'm going by the Word of God. I'm flying by my instruments here. And it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, and I know it's inside of you, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there's freedom. You have it. Now, we all, with uncovered face, mirroring the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. This goes along with what Jesus said. If your eye is single, your entire body will be luminous. That's what Jesus said. If your eye is single, your entire body will be luminous. What this tells me is that if you want your entire body to be luminous, if you want your walk to line up with the truth that you have, then keep your eyes focused on Christ. You don't need to look at your body. You don't need to look at your flesh. You don't need to concentrate on it. If you want to contract your pupil, what do you do? Do you grab your pupil with your fingers and try to work it into shape? No, you look at the sun. Automatically contracts. Beautiful analogy, if I don't mind saying so. If you want to conform your walk, your life to Christ, just look at the sun, S-O-N, and you will be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. It goes from glory to glory. It goes in increments, right? You don't get all the glory at once, from glory to glory. And it's always an improvement. So be patient. It happens in God's timing. Now Paul says in chapter 4, that was chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, and I started with verse 17. Now I'm in chapter 4, and I'm in verse 1. Therefore, having this disposition. I like the way Paul says, having this disposition, these are all things that are true of you, whether you believe them or not. These things are true of you, whether you're behaving yourself or whether you're not. That the Spirit of God makes his home in you, that's a fact. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, that's a fact. And that you are a temple of God, and really, you shouldn't be mixing with idols. You shouldn't be going to church. Don't go to church. Why are you doing that? I hope nobody I'm listening to is going to church. It's a dangerous place to be. Therefore, having this disposition, according as we were shown mercy, we are not despondent. I have a problem with this, right? We were shown mercy by God, and he chose us beforehand to know this truth. We are not despondent. Well, we shouldn't be. But I do get despondent. I don't know why. Sorry, Paul. But we spurn hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor yet adulterating the word of God. This is important. When you hear the phrase, we don't walk in craftiness, you get the idea we're talking about some kind of worldly craftiness, like a Ponzi scheme, somebody who tries to trick somebody to get money from them, someone who plots something to get an earthly advantage. Paul says we don't walk in craftiness, but that's not the kind of craftiness he's talking about. He's talking about craftiness in the realm of the spiritual. This is why. Nor walking in craftiness, nor yet adulterating the word of God. See, we are in the realm here of the word of God, of the scriptures. And we know that the word of God is today being adulterated by the religious world. It is. Christians are adulterating it. They're twisting it. One quick example, 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. But they adulterate that word of God. They make it say, as in Adam all are dying, thus also all in Christ shall be vivified. All in Christ, instead of in Christ all. They take that all, they put it before Christ, and it's only all those in Christ who will be vivified. But no. The scripture puts forth Christ as the channel, in Christ all, just like Adam is the channel. This ties in with what I said yesterday. Just as Adam is the channel that affected all humanity for condemnation, Christ is the channel that affects all mankind for justification and righteousness and salvation. So adulterating the word of God. Here's another way they do it. Isaiah 45 verse 7, God says, I create evil. The NASB adulterates the word of God. They change the word evil, which is ra in the Hebrew, and they make it, I create calamity. What? What's the difference, really? Calamity is evil, but that's adulterating the word of God. Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you. They adulterate that, and they say that we chose Christ. That's what Christians say. They're adulterating the word of God. But we do not do this. This is what we do. We manifest the truth, and we manifest the truth and commend ourselves to every human's conscience in the sight of God. The conscience is a beautiful thing. It's a gift given to humanity, even to whacked out people, that tells you what's right and what's wrong. And we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. I commend the message that I bring, the evangelical, the grace of God, to every man's conscience. I challenge people. I said, does your conscience bother you that your Christ is a failure and that your God of love will torment people for eternity? If their conscience is anywhere near intact, that will bother them. It will haunt their dreams. They might not change their teaching right away, but it will gnaw at them like it did with Saul. Saul knew something was screwy about him being out there killing Christians, to the point when the Lord called him on the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goad. What goad? The goad of his conscience. We're commending ourselves to everyone's conscience. It's just like, listen, this is common sense. The truth that we are bringing, we commend it to your conscience. Just think about it. Think about it. Does it seem right to you that God would lose the lose a vast portion of the universe to Satan? Uh-oh. I saved my cigar. That was a close one. Very close indeed. I was talking too much there. Now, I'm going to finish with this. This is strong. I should do a whole show on this. Maybe I will. Now, Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, if our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing. You see, this whole context is the evangel. It's adulterating the word of God. This is why, and it's all involved with the spirit that's inside of you, the spirit of freedom, and of having a pure word of God rather than an adulterated word of God. If our evangel is covered, Paul, this is one of my favorite verses in scripture. And I don't think very many people understand this. I'm going to tell you why as I close this show. If our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing, in whom? Who are perishing, keep that in mind. The evangel is covered to some people, covered. If our evangel is covered, how can it be covered? We're announcing it everywhere. You'll see in a second here. If our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing, in whom the God of this eon, small g, this is Satan, the God of this eon, blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving, so that the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. This is loaded. I can't believe I'm getting started on this 21 minutes into the show. But here it is. So if our evangel is covered, it's covered in those who are perishing, in whom, these people who are perishing, and Paul verifies this with the word unbelieving. These people are unbelievers. Listen. It is covered in those who are perishing, in whom the God of this eon blinds the apprehension of the unbelieving. Satan blinds the apprehensions. He keeps them from understanding it. He confuses them. What do the Rolling Stones say in the song Sympathy for the Devil? Confusing you is the nature of my game. That's Satan speaking in the Rolling Stones song. Listen to it. Go to YouTube. Sympathy for the Devil. Confusing you is the nature of my game. The nature of Satan's game is confusion. He blinds the apprehensions. How many people, though, have told me, even believers, have said, Martin, go easier on these people. They just don't understand. Their comprehensions are blinded. They almost use these exact words. Their apprehensions are blinded. They're just blind. And my answer is always, but a blinded apprehension is deadly, because Paul in this context says that they are perishing. He does. Our evangel is covered in those who are perishing. Those who do not understand our evangel are perishing. Why? Because of Satan. The God of the sea blinds their apprehension. They're just blind, Martin. Yeah, but blindness is deadly. Ignorance is deadly. That's why we're heralding the truth. Blinds the apprehensions of who? The unbelieving. They're unbelievers. In no sense are people for whom the word of God is adulterated, to whom Satan has blinded our evangel. You present it to them and it's just a fog over their face. This is the work of Satan, and we try to penetrate it. But the fact is that these folks are, at this time, unbelievers. No one knows when God will lift the veil, when God will clear the fog, when God will tell Satan to take a hike, and then the illumination of the gospel will at that time irradiate them. The illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ. They don't get it. They don't get the glory of Christ. But we are to continue to herald it. It's frustrating to meet with this stubbornness. It is satanic stubbornness. It is ultimately of God. Yes, we have to rest in that after we try to get the word through. But don't be too discouraged. Paul says we are not despondent. I try. We're not despondent because of this. We shouldn't be despondent because of this. The Spirit of God makes its home in us. This is a great gift. We don't need to go to church. We are the church. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And as we walk in this freedom, we, with uncovered face, mirror the Lord's glory. This is a organic, wonderful, spiritual thing. And as we mirror the Lord's glory, we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory.